The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 2 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Christ is here, Jesus in me. From Scripture, let's examine Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Now, to understand this verse, it's helpful to start with John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Reading on, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's John 1, verse 14. Just now, Paul tells us that the Word, Jesus, is close to us, on our lips and in our heart. Later, in verse 17, Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, teachings of Christ. Let's trace the process. God's Word, Jesus, is preached aloud. We hear it with our ears, and then welcome and receive it in our hearts. We believe in the Word, Jesus, confess our faith aloud with our mouth, and we are saved. Next, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in our hearts, pouring the love of God into us. We study and meditate on the Word. God's Word renews our minds. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and reveals the truth of the Word. We grow in wisdom and discernment. We talk with Jesus in prayer and learn to walk with him and others in love. We speak like Jesus and confess the Word over our life and the lives of others. When we stumble or fall, Jesus picks us up. When we ask for forgiveness, we encounter grace. Jesus gives us grace to overcome every test and temptation. We grow in faithfulness and holiness. We are transformed and become new creatures in Christ. Suddenly, one day, as we look in the mirror, what started with our ears, heart, and mouth is now complete. I praise God that I am learning to surrender all of me to Jesus. In him I live. He is no longer near. He is here. Are you hurting and lost? Come, let me tell you the good news about Jesus Christ, the Messiah who lives in me. Everything changes for all eternity when he comes. Lord, thank you for sending us your word in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I receive your love, grace, and truth. Holy Spirit, come live in me and rule my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Too blessed to be stressed. Public testimony of God's blessings and favor. From Scripture we hear, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That was a quote from James chapter 1, verse 12. Now, James details the characteristics of the Christian life. He addresses the hypocrisy of empty claims of faith without works and gives us practical, real-world advice on how to put our faith into action. I remember the day this passage came to life. Sitting in the audience, I felt the anticipation and pride of a parent. Memories of band recitals, award ceremonies, football and volleyball games, only this was very different. It was not my child, but a sister in Christ whom God had graced me to disciple and teach. This was her coming out party, her first public testimony of the amazing things God had done in her life. The room was abuzz with fellow Christians who wanted to hear her secret. Her title, Too Blessed to be Stressed, drew them in. She spoke of the recent miracle in her life, recounted that she had died in an accident in her pool, and how God gave her a second chance at life. As she spoke, the crowd was silent and still as the Holy Spirit ministered to every person in the room. She went on to describe the growth in her faith walk and how she now felt God's presence in her life every day. She shared her new outlook and how she saw life in a totally new way. She challenged the audience to celebrate life each day. She closed with, "Look for God's presence in your life in the small things. Then you too will realize that you are too blessed to be stressed." Child of God, I encourage you to examine your life. Remember the times that God lifted you up and carried you when you were too tired to go on? Be joyful and thankful for God's grace, mercy, and favor. In the face of trials and challenges, I pray that you will declare, "I am too blessed to be stressed." Lord, thank you for your blessings and favor. Holy Spirit, help me remember the fullness of Jesus' mercy and grace each day, and may peace and joy reign in my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The Body of Christ meets Reality TV. Christ started makeovers. The reference here is to Ephesians 4, verse 22. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. Now, Reality TV has made makeovers the latest fad. We have TV shows that feature guests who get a physical makeover, home remodels, financial overhauls, and learn to live on a budget, diet and cooking transformations. Some people put their marriage and family relationships on full display and attempt to learn functional relationship skills in front of a vast TV audience. Looking at the state of the body of Christ, I am convicted that we must change our look, thinking, and behavior and submit to a complete spiritual makeover in our daily lives. Why do we need a spiritual makeover? A quick read of Barna data and review of the current state of affairs in the church reveals rampant failures to teach the Word of God and live according to God's Word. Homosexuality and same-sex marriage have invaded the pulpit and are promoted as an acceptable way of life. Divorce rates among Christians equals that of the world. Barna stats show that church membership, attendance, and offerings are on a decline, with only 20% of Christians tithing regularly. Sadly, a large number of Christians say that messages and programs are not relevant and do not address their needs. There has been an increase in scandals involving sexual abuse, immorality, and misuse of funds among pastors and church leaders. 30% of pastors regularly engage in internet pornography. Every day, Christians are on display before a vast audience that includes God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, saints, angels of heaven, friends, and family, plus Satan and all the powers of darkness. Child of God, is it time for you to invite God to perform a spiritual makeover in your life? Ask God to speak to you about any area of your life that is not pleasing to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit and His crew of divine assistance, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, wisdom, discernment, truth, light, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness to take charge. Trust God. He created makeovers. Lord, thank you for the life-changing power of your love, mercy, and grace. Holy Spirit, do a spiritual makeover in my life and remove anything that is not pleasing to you. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Spring of living water, drink and be satisfied for eternity. From Scripture, John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, we read, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Here, we see Jesus asking the Samaritan woman at the well for a drink of water. As they talk, the woman comes to realize the man she's talking to is Christ, the Messiah. After leaving the well, she goes back and tells friends and neighbors about her conversation with Jesus. Soon, they come out to hear Jesus preach the gospel. Jesus and his disciples stay there for 2 days, and many are saved. In this passage, Jesus makes the comparison between natural water and spiritual or living water. Natural water flowed from the well that had been dug centuries earlier by Jacob. Jesus points out that everyone who drinks natural water will soon become thirsty and forced to return and drink again. Jesus offers the woman and her neighbors, the Samaritans, living water. Jesus explains the living water that he offers them will provide nourishment and quench their thirst for all eternity. The world, driven by a spirit of darkness, attempts to satisfy our soul's deepest thirst by supplying us with power, money, possessions, sex, fame, and recognition. None of these satisfy us for long. Soon the hunger and thirst return, and we crave for more. As a Christian, I am comforted to know that I have lifted his cup to my lips. I have tasted the living water that comes only from the Spirit of God and his Word. I have access to a free-flowing spring that never runs dry. The water is sweet, and it nourishes and soothes my soul. Best of all, I can dip into the spring and fill my cup to overflowing for myself and my entire house for all eternity. Are you thirsty? If so, I encourage you to drink from Jesus' cup and taste the living water that comes from him. It is all you will ever need. Lord, thank you for giving me living water that flows freely like a spring from your Son, Jesus Christ. Your living water nourishes and sustains me with eternal life. Holy Spirit, teach me to share my cup gladly with others so they may also drink. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Justified by grace. Grace changes everything. Here we examine the following piece of scripture from Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's indictment of mankind is very clear when he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Grace, Jesus, enters in and changes everything. It is by God's grace, his unmerited favor and goodwill, that we are justified, declared innocent, acquitted, and absolved from our guilt of sin. The Bible has much to say about God's grace and favor. These words are used 448 times in the Amplified Translation. Webster's defines the word favor as something done or granted out of goodwill, rather than from justice or for remuneration, an act of kindness, goodwill, or the state of being approved or held in high esteem to hold or possess favor. I confess that I am overwhelmed by God's grace. I find it hard to understand why some Christians see God as an angry and stern heavenly Father who sits watching and waiting to punish us for even the slightest mistake. God showed us his ultimate unconditional love and grace by sending Jesus to die on the cross that we might be redeemed and freed from sin. Jesus chose to die for us to show us his love and obedience to God. He took on our guilt, sins, and the punishment that we deserved. He died and went to hell so we don't have to. Child of God, the next time you are feeling upset with God, disappointed that a prayer has not been answered, or upset that you are facing challenges, I suggest that you stop and remember one word, grace. By faith in Jesus, we were saved by grace and became righteous. Jesus died on the cross that we might have life and salvation for all eternity. We were declared innocent, acquitted and absolved from sin, and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Remember, you have freedom, victory, and eternal salvation because of his grace. Let this truth sink in. Feel the joy rise up in your heart and give God praise for his grace. Lord, thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Jesus, the depth of your grace are hard to comprehend. I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Grace increased all the more. New levels of grace every day. Let's refer to this scripture from Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. The law was added so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here, Paul shows us that the law came to identify, add to, or expand the list of sin, thereby making sin more powerful and present in our lives. He goes on to say that sin ruled to the point of destruction and death. And then God's grace, Jesus Christ, showed up. I'm comforted to know God's word says when sin increased, grace and righteousness increased even more. When guilt, condemnation, and shame increased, grace and forgiveness and reconciliation increased even more. When bitterness, resentment, hurt, and anger increased, grace, peace, and joy increased even more. When hatred and conflict increased, grace, love, and compassion increased even more. When doubt, fear, and unbelief increased, grace, expectant hope, and faith increased even more. When sickness and disease increased, grace, healing, and deliverance increased even more. When hunger, poverty, and lack increased, abundance and provision increased even more. When despair and hopelessness increased, grace, courage, and confidence increased even more. When death and destruction increased, grace and eternal life increased even more. I give praise to God that His grace is new every day. I am comforted to know that Jesus lives within me, and His grace increases even more than any need or test I will ever face. Lord, thank You for Your unconditional love, mercy, and grace. Jesus, Your blood provides the grace I need to endure and overcome every test and gives me eternal life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Greet your troubles with joy. Joy is my welcome mat. Here's a quotation from James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brothers and sisters, you will face all kinds of trouble. When you do, think of it as pure joy. Your faith will be put to the test. You know that when it happens, it will produce in you the strength to continue. The strength to keep going must be allowed to finish its work. Then you will be all you should be. You will have everything you need. James uses strong language to address the hypocrisy he saw in the daily life of fellow Christians. His letter serves as a primer on Christian living. His words are very confrontational and challenging as he calls us to put our faith into action. Sadly, many Christians are good at talking the talk, but stumble and fall when it comes to walking it out. As James points out, the proof of our faith is in our actions and in the fruit that we bear. As Christians, we must reject worldly thinking and actions and greet our trials and tests with joy. To the world, this advice sounds crazy. When trials come, the world reacts with worry, anxiety, fear, and agitation. I praise God that others who have known me for years say they see the difference in how I respond to everyday situations. I have more joy and peace in my life than ever before. Yes, I have days when I get angry or frustrated for a few minutes, but the Holy Spirit steps in and quickly helps restore my peace. Often, I find myself welcoming challenges as an opportunity for spiritual growth and promotion. God's grace has made joy my welcome mat. Child of God, ask God to speak to you today about your joy. Are you walking in joy and peace in spite of your circumstances? Do you trust God's grace to continue in the midst of every trial? Do you have faith that God will use your trials to develop you into the person He wants you to be? Commit today to live by faith. By His grace, make joy your welcome mat and walk into your divine destiny. Lord, thank You for this lesson on living by faith. Holy Spirit, help me greet every trial and test with joy and peace, knowing that God's grace is all I need. Finish the work in me that You have started. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The Word became flesh. Jesus the man understands all I go through. First, reading from Scripture, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw His glory, His honor, His majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from His Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Now, John chapter 1 is one of my favorites in the entire Bible. John's words are spellbinding and have captured the heart, mind, and spirit of Christians for over 2,000 years with this verse. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. John tells us the Word, Christ, came to earth to live with us. This one sentence forces every Christian to radically examine their beliefs, concepts, understanding, opinions, and emotions about Jesus Christ. Jesus, Son of God, came and lived on earth. He ate and slept, worked with his hands as a carpenter, played with other children, went to church, studied and learned, laughed and cried, felt disappointment and hurt like all of us. Jesus was both man and God. This very fact should override and cancel every lie that Satan will ever tell you, that Jesus does not understand what you are going through and cannot relate to your situation. I find great joy and comfort in this verse. I'm reassured and find confidence knowing that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, knows what I am going through. Jesus knows the hurt of betrayal and rejection by family and friends. Jesus knows the joy of love and deep connection with friends who have shared challenges and celebrated victory. Jesus knows we often desire to do what is right because our spirit is willing, but we fail because we're tired and give up. Jesus knows that we can believe in Him enough to step out of the boat one minute and sink into doubt and fear the next. I confess I'm comforted because Jesus knows me. Most of all, I find peace and joy that I know Him. Do you know Him? If not, I encourage you to invite Jesus Christ, the living Word, to become flesh and live in you too. Lord, thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to live within me. Jesus, you gave me the Holy Spirit so that I am never alone. With your grace, I have everything I will ever need. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. In weakness, I am strong. Jesus and His divine strength show up. From Scripture, we read, "So, for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength." From 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Now, in this verse, God's kingdom thinking and Satan's worldly thinking collide. Paul's words in this verse defy the world's thinking and turn it upside down. In other words, what the world sees as strength is weakness, and what is weakness to the world is our strength. Notice Paul goes so far as to say he is well pleased and even takes pleasure in times of trouble. Another translation states that he is content and finds delight in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. Why? Because Paul learned that when he is weak in human strength, he is strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Paul has discovered that when we are at the point of giving up, caving in and quitting, God's grace, His divine strength, shows up and carries us to the finish line. Whenever we feel weak and impotent and are on the verge of saying, "I can't," His divine strength, grace, interrupts and reminds me, "With Christ, I can do this and will not fail." When we cannot see a way out, His grace shows us a way and leads our escape. When we are insulted or harassed and persecuted, His grace steps in and enables us to walk in humility, love, and compassion, even Christ-like forgiveness. When we feel afraid or insecure, hurt, or confused, His grace infuses us with God's love and enables us to walk in His divine wisdom and discernment, confidence and hope, courage and boldness. Child of God, ask God to show you the areas of your life where you are weak, feeling helpless, and on the verge of giving up. In the moment, surrender your weakness to God. Allow Him to show up in His divine strength and walk in His grace. Lord, thank you for the strength and power of your grace and your word. Holy Spirit, teach me that when I surrender my life to you, I move from human weakness to divine strength and grace. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Understanding mind and a hearing heart. Pray for the wisdom of Solomon. From Scripture we read, Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. I know not how to go out, begin, or come in, finish. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge and rule this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. A quotation from 1 Kings 3, verses 7 through 10. Now, God first spoke to me about this verse in late 2009. I was struck by the humility of Solomon's request. His first thought was to ask for God's help, so he could effectively judge and rule God's people. The next verse reveals that because he honored God with his request, God not only answered his prayer by anointing him with great wisdom and discernment, but also blessed him with great riches and wealth. From that day forward, I began to pray and ask God to grant me an understanding mind and a hearing heart before every call and meeting. I praise God that I have witnessed God answer my prayer as he peels away multiple layers of complexity and distraction and reveals hidden truths that lead to solutions, personal breakthroughs, and destruction of generational curses and strongholds. Child of God, are you judging the world, others, and your challenges with your own mind and heart, or a mind and heart from God? Are you operating outside the limits of your own understanding? Can your spiritual ears hear the cries of others' pain, sadness, hurt, and disappointment? Do you feel their despair with a heart that has been fine-tuned by God's love? Are you able to perceive answers and solutions that have been hidden but are suddenly revealed? Are you able to discriminate between truth, lies, and deception? Do you see the inner intentions, motives, and desires of others? If you're still operating in your own strength, then I encourage you to get on your knees in prayer, like Solomon. Ask God to grant you an understanding mind and a hearing heart. Lord, thank you for this powerful lesson on humility, honor, wisdom, and discernment. Like Solomon, I am unable to face the world and its problems in my own strength. Holy Spirit, grant me an understanding mind and a hearing heart at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Scripture is fulfilled. Trust Jesus to lead you into your divine destiny. First, we quote from Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, two verses later, we see Jesus proclaim to all his boyhood friends, family, and neighbors, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Reading on, we see that the crowd was initially amazed at his words. And yet soon their amazement passed, and they became angry. Surrounding him, they drove Jesus out of town to the edge of a cliff with the intention of throwing him off the cliff. Scripture tells us that Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on his way to preach in Capernaum. The confidence and boldness of Jesus' message captures my attention. Jesus understood the historical and cultural significance of his time on earth. He understood that his power and anointing came from God. Jesus knew both why and what God sent him to do. Jesus was, still is, God's messenger to the lost, sick, poor, and oppressed. Jesus came for one reason, to share the good news of the gospel, and to share God's love, mercy, and grace for his chosen people. As a Christian, each of us must ask God to reveal his mission, purpose, and perfect will for our lives. To accomplish his will, we need to walk in obedience and submit to his grace, or anointing, power, and might. Like Jesus, we must act in faith with confidence and boldness. Like Jesus, we must trust God to make a way through every crowd of protest or rejection, even when it comes from our closest friends and family. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God for grace that His perfect will is fulfilled in your life. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal God's perfect will for my life and help me to be clear about my divine calling, mission, and purpose. Teach me to walk in faith by grace and to act with confidence and boldness. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Showered with grace. Start each day under the faucet of grace. To begin, we quote from John chapter 1, verse 16. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and were all supplied with, one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Now, as the words of this verse settle in, I confess that I am amazed and overwhelmed by their meaning. The fullness or abundance of Jesus reigns and pours over us over and over. It's difficult for most of us to comprehend the measure of God's grace for us. As humans, our minds think small with limits and constraints. As a Christian, a child of the Almighty God, we must renew our minds daily to ensure that our thinking reflects the mind of God, His fullness, abundance, and love for us. Remember, once God's faucet of grace is turned on in our lives, it delivers an endless shower of love, grace, favor, spiritual blessings, and gifts that never turn off or run out. All the love, grace, favor, blessings, and gifts that I received yesterday have been replaced with today's endless supply. I don't need to store them up, or save them, or use them sparingly in an effort to make them last. Today, once again, my storehouse is running over with all I need. God's Word tells me that His faucet of grace, with its endless supply, only stops flowing or turns off whenever I turn it off. You and I turn the faucet off when we abandon our faith and trust in God and walk in unbelief and disobedience. Examine your life today, child of God. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any area of your life where you are not believing God and walking in faith. Then quickly repent and commit to love God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love others. Get ready for a refreshing shower and bathe under God's faucet of grace. Be prepared to start every day under His never-ending faucet of grace. Lord, thank you for your love and grace. Holy Spirit, help me renew my mind daily and realize that God's grace is all I need for every situation and that His grace never runs out. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Take nothing for the journey. All you need is in the name of Jesus. Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town, as a testimony against them. Now, I'm drawn to the simplicity of Jesus' instructions to the disciples as He sent them off to preach the gospel. I'm struck by the contrast when I compare the disciples' preparations with the process Karen and I go through when we travel. My wife is the ultimate planner and organizer. She spends days researching our destination on the internet and engaging me in conversation about our trip. We set goals and plan our itinerary. We create a budget and discuss what to take. We spend time packing and rechecking our bags to make sure we didn't forget any key items. Cell phone charger. We prepare for emergencies and create contingencies. We even evaluate and critique the trip afterwards and discuss what worked and what did not work and whether or not we would ever go back or recommend the destination to friends and family. I think I would struggle with Jesus' commandment to the disciples, take nothing for the journey. As I reflect on my potential hesitation and resistance, The Holy Spirit revealed the truth of Jesus' teaching. He was trying to equip and prepare the disciples for their ultimate journey. He encouraged and motivated them to trust God for their provision and welfare. He prepared them to walk by faith and showed them how to trust Him in the moment. He taught them the need to always press on and forget the past. Jesus was preparing the disciples for the most important journey the world has ever known. I am humbled by the life lessons in this passage. I praise God that I'm learning to face each day like the disciples. In fact, I am praying someday Karen and I will boldly and confidently go on a trip, equipped only with the name of Jesus. As I write this, the Holy Spirit reminds me, what more do we need? Lord, thank you for your provision. Holy Spirit, teach me to trust and rely on you at all times. Remind me that when I take nothing, I am forced to rely on you, and you are all I need. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Knowing versus walking in the truth. Trust Jesus and put the truth to the test. Here we read in Scripture, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That was John 8, verses 30 through 32. The meaning, we don't have to look too far to see the importance of truth in the marketplace. Most employment application forms include a statement that informs the applicant, any untruth or misrepresentation is grounds for dismissal. Employee orientations focus on the importance of truthful reporting on employee expense accounts, use of company credit cards, cell phones, computers, and company vehicles. Sadly, we're bombarded daily by evidence in the media and the press that truth as a virtue has almost vanished and is out of style in our society. I read an article recently about a college student caught lying and cheating on exams. He expressed his dismay over his punishment by claiming, "What is the big deal? Everybody does it." It seems that the world in general, and especially Christians, have bought the lie. The lie that says the truth will set you free. While this sounds good on the surface, this is a lie from Satan to deceive us into sin and death. Let's take a look at some common and simple truths. Number one, cigarettes, tobacco causes cancer. Number two, unprotected sex increases the risks for HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases. Number three, drinking alcohol and driving is dangerous and against the law. Four, overeating and lack of exercise are bad for your health. All of these are true, yet smoking, unprotected sex, drunk driving, and obesity are all on the rise. Sadly, the truth alone never sets anyone free. The truth we fail to focus on is the need to walk in faith and obedience to the truth of God's Word. Child of God, I encourage you to decide today that you will make the Bible the final authority in your life. Read it, study, and meditate on it. Continue walking in faith on the road to righteousness. The simple truth is, when you obey God and resist Satan, he will flee from you and you will be set free. Lord, thank you for the eternal, unchanging truth of your word. I thank you for the light of Jesus that enables me to see through the darkness and to recognize Satan's lies. Holy Spirit, draw me to the light and truth of God's word. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Clark Kent, or Mighty Man of God, put on your G-suit and walk in boldness. Listen to this quotation from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. As a kid, I loved to read Superman comic books. On Saturday mornings, I sat glued to the TV and was amazed and entertained. I watched with anticipation and excitement as mild-mannered Clark Kent ducked into the phone booth, came out as Superman, and flew off to confront and overcome evil. Paul's message on God's grace should excite every Christian, young and old. Forget Superman's form-fitting suit with the red cape. Child of God, put on your G-suit, God's grace, and go out and wage battle with evil. Come out of the closet. Leave your quiet, reserved, timid, and politically correct self behind, and go boldly into the world to confront and defeat evil. Walk in confidence and courage, knowing that your G-suit is made with the strongest, most durable, and reliable material that is known to heaven and man, God's love. Your G-suit is strong enough to withstand any sin or temptation. With it, nothing is impossible for you, as it transforms your natural into God's divine power. Your G-suit allows you to operate in supernatural strength and power, enables you to go anywhere and do anything, and guarantees that you win every situation. It will never wear out, tear, or rip, or tarnish, or go out of style. It will grow with you and become even stronger as you grow spiritually. Your G-suit is perfect for every situation. It even lights up in the dark and will illuminate your path. Child of God, the next time you're confronted by Satan and his forces of darkness, fear, doubt, unbelief, and temptation, or see someone in need, I encourage you to remember you're wearing a special gift from God designed just for you. Your G-suit really is all you need. Lord, thank you for your unmerited and boundless grace. Jesus, I receive your grace, and with it, I can do all things. Holy Spirit, transform me for God's glory. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.